Our sermon text tonight, if you have your Bible with you, is Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. You can turn with me there. So listen now to God's holy word from Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we come again now to your word, and we want to hear you speak through this living word. And so we pray, Lord, that you would send your spirit here to be present with us, to illuminate our hearts and minds, that we might be able to understand and to believe and to love and apply the truths contained within this text. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us for Jesus' sake, in whose name we do pray these things. Amen. I want to get personal here right at the beginning. Are there things in your past which cause you to shudder? Sins which you have sinned, maybe no one else here in this room knows about them, but you've sinned those sins and they fill you with shame. Filthy thoughts, words, deeds, those sorts of things that when you think back on them, they cause your stomach to ball up in a knot. I suspect that everyone here can think of something in their life that to some degree causes them to cringe. That is, unless your conscience has been totally cauterized at this point. I raise these questions tonight here at the outset of our sermon not to shame you further nor to rub your nose in your regrets. Rather, I raise these questions because I want to proclaim good news to you this evening. If you can think of those sorts of things in your past, things which cause you to shudder, things which cause you to cringe, things which you wish you could put out of your mind altogether, which cause you to feel dirty, which cause you to feel sick of your sin, well, then Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45 contains the medicine which can cure what ails you. How so? Well, this passage recounts Jesus' miraculous cleansing of a leper who came to him for relief. And so you might ask, how is it that a physical healing provides a cure for the spiritual sickness and resulting shame brought about by sin? But what we are going to find as we work our way through this passage is that here in Mark chapter 1, the leper's cleansing functions in the text as a symbolic representation of the way in which Jesus deals with our spiritual uncleanness and restores us to a right relationship with God. And so, yes, this is about a physical healing, but the core message of Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, is that those who come to Jesus with faith can be cleansed of the defilement which separates them from God. Those who come to Jesus with faith can be cleansed of the defilement which separates them from God. Isn't that good news? Isn't that news you need tonight? It's news that I need. So that's going to be our theme as we work our way through the passage, and we're going to take note of three things. First of all, the man's malady in verse 40, Christ's cleansing touch in verses 41 through 44, and then we'll observe a reversal of roles, which takes place in verse 45. First, we come to the man's malady in verse 40. Now, within the context of Jesus' ministry in the Galilean countryside, we are informed here in verse 40 that a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, truly understanding this scene and grasping its weight requires understanding the nature, the true nature of this man's malady. What is it that this man is suffering from? The text tells us that he is a leper. In modern times, we use the word leprosy to refer to Hansen's disease, which it's a nasty condition, as I understand it, which damages the skin, the eyes. It can even cause grotesque deformities over time. And Hansen's disease does fit the biblical bill for leprosy. But it's actually only one of dozens of skin conditions which meets the Bible's criteria. In the ancient world, leprosy was really a category of malignant skin conditions. It wasn't a singular disease. So, depending on the individual case, leprosy could be a short-term nuisance, or it could be a death sentence. And when you realize that, it goes a long way towards explaining why the book of Leviticus, and this is the part of the book of Leviticus where lots of Bible plans begin to fall apart, where the book of Leviticus devotes two chapters of considerable length to diagnosing, evaluating, and cleansing lepers. However, regardless of which form of leprosy you had, receiving a diagnosis of leprosy placed you in a unique category of suffering with profound religious implications. A leper, and you notice this, pay real close attention to the language of the text. A leper didn't just need to be healed. A leper needed to be cleansed. And they needed to be cleansed because to be a leper was to be ritually unclean. The broader Old Testament story helps us to understand the logic of all this. So think back with me. After the Exodus, when God brought his people out of the land of Egypt, Israel dwelt for some time in the wilderness. And when they were dwelling in the wilderness, the people camped around the tabernacle, that holy tent which God had designed and instituted for his people as a place of worship and a place where he would be present with them. The Lord himself was to be understood as residing within the tabernacle in all of his covenant glory. So due to this proximity between the people and their Lord, they were all camping together. It was important that the camp remain ritually clean. The problem was that there were several things which could defile a person and render them unclean. Leviticus highlights a host of examples. If you have read through the book, you know that. But one of the chief offenders, one of the primary things which you wanted to avoid, which could make you unclean, was leprous skin diseases. If you broke out in a rash, you were required to go to the priest so that they might evaluate your condition on the basis of the guidelines laid down in Leviticus chapter 13. Now, thanks be to God that as we've read in Hebrews chapter 9, we're under a new covenant. And so that ceremonial law has went away. Every time you break out in a rash, you don't need to come see Pastor Nick, and you can give thanks to the Lord for that. But in this case, you did. You had to go to the priest. And the hope was that upon showing yourself to the priest, you were declared non-leprous and clean. That's what you wanted to hear. And then you could go on with your life. No big deal. But those who received the unfortunate diagnosis of leprosy had to live an unenviable, undesirable lifestyle until the problem resolved, if it could be resolved at all. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, that's really a key text for understanding just what a problem this could be. I'm going to read it. Leviticus 13, 45 and 46. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. You see, having leprosy was different than having the sniffles. And actually, having leprosy was different from having other serious conditions with which other people could sympathize. You didn't really sympathize with a leper. Because leprosy was a troubling physical condition, which was also accompanied by social and religious alienation. To be diagnosed with leprosy was to have to put your entire life on pause and hope something changed. To be a leper was to be put out of civilized society. It was to be separated from the presence of God, lest defilement spread to the tabernacle or the temple. It was not something that you wanted to happen to you. It was not something that you wanted to happen to your loved ones. It was something which marked you out as an outcast from society. We might ask, why? Why? I mean, why would God, He designed all this, right? Why would God set up these categories of clean and unclean and then push the unclean away? He's the one who makes the rules. Is it not cruel to treat the sick in this way? But understand why lepers were treated this way. You have to understand that the old covenant regulations as a whole were meant to foreshadow and teach about Jesus Christ and His work. If you don't understand that, you will misunderstand everything that the Bible has to say about leprosy. You'll understand much of what the Old Testament has to say about the ritual life of God's people. The Old Covenant communicated Jesus Christ and His work. And the application of ceremonial purity laws to leprosy, that was no exception. This aspect of the law was also intended to communicate something about Christ and His work. What was this intended to communicate? Just think about it. Think about the picture of the leper separated from society, crying out in the wilderness, "Unclean, unclean," and contemplate that symbolism. They were defiled. They were cut off. They were removed from God's presence. And so we see that the defiling effect of leprosy was a picture. It was a moving portrait. It was an image for all God's people of the defiling effect of sin. The defilement of leprosy and the implications which resulted were a picture of the defilement of sin and its implications. Leprosy corrupts the body. It makes you an outcast. And it puts distance between the leper and God. To overcome all of this, the leper needed to be cleansed. Likewise, sin corrupts us, makes us outcasts. It puts distance between us and God. And to overcome all this, the sinner needs to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who brings us near to God. Leprosy was, therefore, a fitting picture of our spiritual condition. That's not to say, don't get me wrong, that's not to say that lepers were uniquely sinful, such that God was making an example of them because they were just the chief of sinners. That's not what we're saying here. Coming down with leprosy was not always a punishment for some identifiable transgression. And there was not a one-to-one transgression between your sin and your physical condition. No, sometimes this was the case. Think of Miriam in the book of Numbers, who was stricken with leprosy because of her sin. But though leprosy was not always a punishment for sin, every single leper, functioned as a signpost saying, you must be cleansed to come to God. That's what the leper said. You must be cleansed to come to God. And so with all of that in the background, come back to the text with me now. This leper comes to Jesus in the fullness of his uncleanness. His condition, we've talked about there was a range, but his condition was probably serious and chronic because he tramples over social norms to seek Jesus' help. In desperation, he comes and he falls down and he implores Jesus. The language is strong. He gets down on his knees and he begs. He risks the spread of contagion. And this he does in order to make a request. If you will, you can make me clean. This man must have heard of some of the great things that Jesus had done. We're early in the book at this point in the Gospel of Mark, but he's already done some great things. This man has probably heard of some of them. Perhaps he had even heard Jesus' preaching from afar, because Jesus didn't just preach in town. Occasionally he went out into the wilderness and he preached. So it's possible that this man had listened to him from a distance. Because when he approaches Jesus, he does so with the conviction, that Jesus can make him well, if only he should say the word. If you will, you can do this. And the words, if you will, could make it sound as if this man doubted Jesus' willingness. But that probably reads too much into them. Really, I think his request simply reflects an understanding that while Jesus very clearly had the power and ability to do this sort of thing, he would have to choose to use it. He wasn't a vending machine. You didn't just go up to it, put in the coins, and get what you wanted. No, Jesus had to choose to use his power. And this man had the faith, he had the conviction that Jesus just might do it for him. Brothers and sisters gathered here tonight, can you already begin to see your resemblance with the leper? You resemble him. I don't know everyone here. I don't think that anybody here in this room fears permanent exclusion from society on the basis of a skin condition. That the ceremonial laws of Leviticus are no longer binding. Jesus has fulfilled their purposes. But the uncleanness brought about by leprosy, remember, is a picture of the uncleanness brought about by sin. And that is a problem that is very much ongoing. Apart from Christ, the one who has broken the law of God is corrupt, dead in sin even. And while suffering from this spiritual malady, we, like the leper, are alienated and separated from God. And left alone, this alienation Heed this warning. Left alone, this alienation will become permanent. When we are cast into hell, away from the loving covenant presence of God forever. And therefore, when we picture the desperation of this repulsive and rejected leper, we should see a picture of our need apart from Christ. We too, whether we've really grasped it tonight or not, we too are in a desperate situation caused by sin. And we too need to kneel before the Lord in faith so that we might be saved, lest we be left outside the walls of God's city forever. How does this work? How is it that Jesus deals with desperately unclean sinners? Well, beginning in verse 41, we see that Christ responds to the man's malady by offering a cleansing touch. There's no grand ritual here. There's no magical incantation. There's no special potion. The Bible says that moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." Simple as that would have been shocking to all of the disciples who were standing there watching. As law-abiding Jews, all of them would have been taught from their youth to avoid lepers. To avoid lepers. You stay away from that which is unclean because according to the law of Moses, ritual impurity is contagious. It's contagious. Even, and this was somewhat superstitious, I think, but even walking too close to a leper was thought to make someone unclean for a time. That's one of the reasons why lepers were required to make themselves visible and announce their presence, lest they accidentally spread their filth. You didn't want to get too close to such a person. They would get you dirty. An illustration might help us understand this. The children who are here tonight. Now, my kids, they love to play in the mud. They love to play in the dirt. They like to spend time outside. Maybe you do too. And so if you were to go outside and play in the mud, and then you ran back into your house to hug your mom and dad before you washed up, well, what would happen? Would you still be the only one who was muddy, the only one who was dirty? No, you wouldn't be the only one who was dirty anymore. You would be muddy, the house would be muddy, and your parents would be muddy. Everything you touched would be dirty, going from clean to unclean. And that's how it worked with lepers. They were unclean. And if they touched you, they made you unclean. At least temporarily. So you didn't touch them. You didn't touch them. But Jesus feels such pity and such compassion for this man who is suffering greatly. And so he stretches out his hand and he intentionally touches the leper. His concern for what has befallen this man in a sin-sick world leads him to do that which you are not supposed to do. Jesus voluntarily brings himself into direct contact with that which is unclean. Important question. Is he thereby rendered unclean himself? No. And my friends, that is strange. That's strange. Because Jesus is not made unclean by touching the leper. On the contrary, Jesus touches the leper, and the leper is made clean. He's made clean. When Jesus receives the request, we're told he touches the leper and says, "I will be clean." And according to verse 42, immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. As it turns out, the man's faith was well placed. Jesus reverses the ordinary transmission of purity and he makes the man well. How could Jesus do this? This was not something that just anyone could do. How could Jesus do this? It is a sign, not the first sign in Mark's gospel, but it is a sign of his unique power as the Son of God. By virtue of his divine nature, Jesus would, throughout the course of his ministry, remain perpetually holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. That's Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. And so in this moment, he identifies with the leper by touching him, but he does not sink under the weight of the leper's ceremonial impurity. As the one who came to fulfill the ceremonial law, Jesus actually in this moment transcends and overcomes the problem of ritual uncleanness. My friends, this is a picture, the way in which Jesus purifies us of sin's defilement. Dr. Vern Poitras, reflecting on this miracle, he views it as anticipatory of Christ's death on the cross. He explains, and now I'm quoting, he explains that touching the leper indicated his willingness to identify with leprosy, which symbolized sin. His identification with sin at this point anticipated and foreshadowed his identification with sin when he became our sin bearer on the cross and was forsaken by God. He goes on saying, Jesus did not literally take the uncleanness of the leper on himself, but he did take our sins on himself by bearing their punishment. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. That's 1 Peter 2:24. You see, Jesus can deal with the dirtiness of your sin. Because we descended from Adam, all of us, who himself sinned in the garden, each and every one of us is born defiled by sin. We're born dirty. And the bad news is that God doesn't do dirty. There will be nothing impure in heaven after which the tabernacle and the temple were patterned. As such, if you want to be at peace with God and you want to be welcomed into his heavenly kingdom, then you need someone who is capable of taking your dirtiness and making you clean. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ alone is capable of doing that for you by virtue of his substitutionary death and his glorious resurrection, just as he symbolically did it for the leper. And so the cry of every sinner who truly understands their condition ought to be, if you will, you can make me clean. And to those who say such a thing, with faith in the crucified Christ, we can trust that Jesus says, I will be clean. And so this text calls us to turn away from filth and defilement to the one who can wash us and make us whole. But the cleansing touch of Christ wasn't the end of the story for this leper. While Jesus was in the process of fulfilling the ceremonial law of Moses, it was still technically on the books at this point. And for the outcast leper to re-enter society, it was actually not enough to be healed and cleansed by Jesus. He needed to be pronounced clean by a priest according to an intricate process described at length in Leviticus chapter 14. It entailed things like bodily examination, ritual washing, and various sacrifices. And thus we're told that Jesus, having cleansed the man, he sternly charges him and he sends him away. He runs him off. There was no time for him to hang around and loiter. Why? Jesus being unfriendly? I think so. Jesus sends this man away because this man has work to do. According to verse 44, Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them. The former leper was to do his duty under the law and thus attain proof of what had been done to him by Jesus. Now his arrival before the priest would have been proof and testimony of the power of Jesus Christ to heal. It was once he was confirmed clean that the priest would provide a proof and a testimony to the world, which would grant this man entrance back into civilized society. He would be welcome in the temple and the community again once he had done what Jesus told him to do. All that he had to do was obey. This is very interesting. You may have noticed that Jesus also gave this man something not to do. In the same breath that he told him to go and fulfill the law, he also told him not to say anything to anyone about what had happened. Imagine that. The most wonderful, incredible, momentous, life-changing thing that's ever happened to you, and the person who makes it possible looks at you and says, "Oh, by the way, can you keep this between us? Don't say a word." And while we have no reason to think that the man failed to seek proof of his cleansing from the priest, he definitely failed to keep his mouth shut. The cleansed leper starts telling people left and right what Jesus has done, and as news begins to spread, it results in the third place in a reversal of roles, which is described for us in verse 45. Verse 45 tells us that the man went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. But he was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. I'm not sure how you could construe this as anything other than blatant disobedience. The man failed to do what Christ had commanded. He was still a sinner after all. But I suppose this was well-intentioned disobedience, if ever there is such a thing. In his joy, he begins spreading the word freely, which actually I think would have been hard not to do. This was a challenge that Jesus was asking to complete. It's hard not to spread the news about a miraculous cleansing when you've had a long-standing case of leprosy which has kept you outside of civilized society. But the popular response to the man's blabbering, it shows us exactly why Jesus issued the command. Our Lord knew that if word continued to spread about what he had done, people would get the wrong idea. They would think that he was just a wonder worker, that his main purpose was to do these sorts of miracles and make people well, and they would swamp him without truly understanding his identity, and that's exactly what happens. The news spreads so fast that Jesus cannot freely travel. He has to stay out of town. And even there, we're told that people come to him from all over. But out of these circumstances, we are, I think, receiving another picture of Christ's willingness to suffer for sinners. The leper had long lived outside the bounds of civilized, polite society. He knew what it was to keep away from crowds. But when Jesus touches and cleanses him, he's suddenly welcomed back. He's welcomed back to his people. He goes into the city and begins to live a normal life again. And the news spreads, however. The ironic result is that Jesus is forced out into desolate places. Don't you see it? They reverse roles. By welcoming the man in, Jesus is put out. Jesus takes the leper's place in the wilderness, at least for a time. And is this not yet another illustration of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross when he went to deal with the problem of the defilement of our sin? When he was crucified, he was driven out of Jerusalem beyond the city gates. Why? According to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. He went out so that he could wash us. He went out of the city so that we might be cleansed for our entrance into the city to come, the heavenly Jerusalem above where Christ now dwells. And Jesus was willing to go out, not just so that the leper might be brought in, but he was willing to go out on the cross, outside the city, out to that place of pollution, so that polluted sinners like us might be cleansed, we might be washed and welcomed into the presence of God. Congregation, don't think that this leprous cleansing was just about one man's temporary physical healing. The Lord is providing you a picture of what Jesus can do for you. And so as we close tonight, let me ask you a few questions. Do you want to be clean? Come to Jesus. He can get rid of the filth of your sin, no matter how repulsive it might be to you or the world. All that stuff perhaps came to your mind when we asked those questions at the beginning. All that stuff, he can deal with that. He can deal with the disease which sin causes within you, and he can deal with the shame which it produces. He can make you whole, no matter how broken you currently might feel. Jesus can bring you near to God, no matter how far you might have strayed. You can live with him forever, even if you deserve the pain of judgment. But you must come and say to him, if you will, you can make me clean. That's the gospel call. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that none of us know quite how sinful we are. None of us have fully grasped the depth of sin and corruption which it brings and the filth which it causes and the shame which it should inspire within us. None of us have fully grasped that. But we thank you, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, to show us that we're in need of cleansing, and to lead us to Jesus, who alone can deal with our filthiness. Lord, we pray for every person here tonight that all would know the cleansing of Christ. And if there be any here who do not yet know the forgiveness of their sins, Lord, work a miracle in them as you worked it in the life of this leper. And for those who have long known your cleansing, we pray this evening that you would help them to rest in that cleansing, to give thanks for what Christ was willing to do, wash their conscience, and set them free from the past. Lord, and we pray for all of us that you would wash us and suit us for your service, that having been brought into your people, we might joyfully get to work doing your will, knowing that the day is coming soon when we will be welcomed into your holy and precious presence. We ask these things in the name of our merciful Savior. Amen.